This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه آمين وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last week we spoke about the beginning of the Hijrah to Al-Madinah. And we mentioned some of the stories of the early migrants. And we looked at some of the methods that Quraysh used to try to prevent and persuade the Muslims from making that hijrah and from leaving Mecca. And so in the end, all of the Muslims had left Mecca for Al-Madinah, and the only ones who remained behind in Mecca were, as we mentioned, some of the weak, some of the ill, and those who were detained, and they were prevented from leaving, along with none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and some of those who were close to him, like Abu Bakr radiallahu an and his family, and also Ali radiallahu an. And so what we will look at tonight is that magnificent journey of the Hijrah taken by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam along with his companion Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And so when Quraysh had seen that the Muslims were migrating to Al-Madinah, they sensed danger, and so they were afraid that the Muslims will move to another place, they will gain power and strength, especially knowing where they're going to Al-Madinah, the inhabitants of which are known for warfare, Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj. And so they saw all of this as being a huge threat to them. And so they came together and they started to discuss how to deal with this threat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who still remained behind in Mecca. They have one last chance to do something. And so they got together in Dar al-Nadwa, you know, their place of meeting, and they started to suggest ideas. And so one of them said, let us throw Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam into prison. Let's get him, let's tie him up, and let's restrain him like they had done to some of the other companions. The response was that it's not a good idea, because if we throw him into jail, his followers will come back and they will overpower us and they will take him. They're going to revolt against us. So the second suggestion was to exile him, to force him out of Mecca. And so the response was that this is also not a good idea, because They said Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his talk is attractive, and so he's going to deceive more people, and eventually they will believe him, and they're going to come back to challenge us. So the third suggestion was, and this suggestion came from none other than who? Abu Jahl. His suggestion was to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Let us to assassinate him. And so he said, the way we should do this is that we should appoint a strong man from every family of Quraysh. Give him a sharp sword, and then have all of them to come together and strike Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam at one time. Why? So that his blood will be shared by the different clans, and responsibility won't be on just one person or one of the families. And so that way, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam will not be able to seek revenge. Right? If it was just one person or one family, they could seek revenge. But if it's everyone, then they will simply ask for blood money, and we will be happy to pay them. So this was the idea of Abu Jahl. And so they all agreed to adopt this suggestion. Now, one narration of this story mentions that Shaytan came and attended this meeting. And he came in the form of a man from An-Najd. And every time a suggestion would be made, he was the one who would object. And he's the one who would say, no, this wouldn't work. This wouldn't work. And finally, when Abu Jahl gave his suggestion, he agreed. And he said, yes, this will work. With regards to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed ayat. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Anfal, وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ. And remember, when the disbelievers conspired to either capture you, to throw you in jail, or to kill you, or to exile you. The three suggestions that were made. وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. Allah says, they planned, but Allah also planned, and Allah is the best of planners. And so this was their plan, to execute Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They wanted to assassinate him. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would protect him. And so Jibreel came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and informed him of the plan of Quraysh. And he also came to him to give him the news from Allah that Allah now gives you permission to leave, to make your hijrah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was waiting. He did not leave with all the other companions because he had not been given permission. Right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would not act on his own. He wouldn't make a single move unless he had the green light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Jibreel came and he gave him that permission. He says, your Lord grants you permission to migrate. Meanwhile, Quraysh started to execute their plan. And so they sent 11 men at night to lay siege to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. These 11 men would wait outside of his door so that as soon as he comes out in the morning, they will execute him, all of them together. And among these men were Abu Jahl. And so Abu Jahl would try to raise the, you know, the spirits of these men. He would go around saying to them, Muhammad claims that if you follow him, he will make you rulers over the Arabs and the non-Arabs. And in the hereafter, your reward will be gardens similar to those of Jordan, Al-Urdun. Otherwise, he will slaughter you. And after death, you will be burnt in the hellfire. Meanwhile, the Prophet ﷺ was inside of the house with Ali radiallahu anhu. And so the Prophet ﷺ told Ali radiallahu anhu to sleep in his place. And he gave him his cover, his green blanket that he ﷺ would use, and he assured him of full protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he told him that no one will be able to harm you, don't worry about it. After that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stepped out of the house and he replied to the statement of Abu Jahl. He heard what Abu Jahl had said, that this man Muhammad promises you this and that, and he says if you don't believe in him, you're going to burn in the hellfire. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stepped out of the house and he said in response to the statement of Abu Jahl, wa ana aqulu dhalik. He said, I do indeed say that, wa anta minhum, and you are one of them, meaning you are one of those who's going to burn in the hellfire. And then he threw a handful of dust at these men and he managed to work his way through them, reciting from the verses of Surah Yasin, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا مِن بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. And we have placed a barrier in front of them and a barrier behind them, and we have covered them all up so that they cannot see. In the morning, these assassins, these 11 men who were waiting for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come out, were still standing there. And so someone came and asked them, what are you guys doing here? And so they said, we're waiting for Muhammad to come out. And throughout the night, they were monitoring. They were looking through holes and seeing that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still there lying down in his bed. Or at least that's what they thought. And so this man, he said to them, Muhammad has long gone. And so they were shocked. So they rushed into the house and they found that it was Ali radiallahu anhu who was sleeping in his place and not Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so they took Ali radiallahu anhu and they interrogated him and they beat him, asking him, where did Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam go? But to no avail. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam escaped unharmed by the plots of Quraysh. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to recite the following dua, which is mentioned in Surah Al-Isra, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلْ رَبِّ أَدْخِلْنِي مُدْخَلَ صِدْقٍ وَأَخْرِجْنِي مُدْخَلَ وأخرجني مخرج وأخرجني مخرج صدق واجعل لي من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا. O Allah, grant me an honorable entrance and an honorable exit. And give me a supporting authority from yourself. So what does this dua mean? Granting him a sound entrance refers to Al-Madinah. And granting him a sound exit refers to Mecca. And give me a supporting authority. This is referring to here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this deen is supported by authority. And give me authority. And that's exactly what Allah gave to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Al-Madinah. The kind of authority, the sultan, the authority that he did not have in Mecca. So now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set out to prepare for the hijrah. Now, when exactly did his hijrah take place? The writers of As-Sirah, they mention that it was 2.5 months after Al-Aqaba Al-Thaniyah, the second pledge at Al-Aqaba. That second pledge at Al-Aqaba with the Ansar was in the Hajj of the 13th year of the Prophethood. So now 2.5 months later, in these 2.5 months, the Muslims were migrating from Mecca to Al-Madinah, and now 2.5 months later, it was time for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to make his move. And so this is now in the 14th year of Al-Bi'tha, of the Prophethood. So we understand from this that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam spent 13 years in Mecca. 13 years giving da'wah in Mecca. The remaining 10 years of his life as a prophet and a messenger would be in Al-Madinah. In Sahih al-Bukhari, Aisha radiallahu anha narrates, she says that one day at mid-noon of Zahira, in the house of Abu Bakr. Who is Aisha radiallahu anha? The daughter of Abu Bakr. And so she says, we saw a man coming and he was masked. He had a mask and he was covering his face. So Abu Bakr saw that it was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He recognized him. But he said, this is strange. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam doesn't come here at this time. He would often visit Abu Bakr, but in the morning or in the evening, not at noon. And so he said, he's only coming because of something important. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came in and he said, O Abu Bakr, have everyone in your house to leave. And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, the only ones who are here, Ya Rasulullah, are my family members. And they are your family. Meaning, my family is like yours. So you can trust speaking to me in their presence. Because they are like your own family. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Bakr, I have been granted permission to leave and make hijrah to Mecca, to Al-Madinah. I have been given permission to make hijrah to Al-Madinah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, O Messenger of Allah, As-Suhbah. He said, can I accompany you? And this is something that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was really looking forward to. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, As-Suhbah. He said, yes, you can accompany me. In the narration it says, Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu started to cry, And Aisha says, I never saw anyone crying out of joy like my father did on that day. And so he was extremely happy because this is the moment he was waiting for. He wanted to be there with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this, you know, magnificent journey, which is going to be extremely tough and risky. He wanted to have that privilege of defending the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr, they started to make their move to leave Mecca. Abu Bakr said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these are two camels that I have that I've prepared for this journey, and everything is ready. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, however, I'll do it with a price. Bithaman, I'm gonna take this ride of yours and I'm gonna pay you for it. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr are getting ready to leave Mecca, and they are on the outskirts of Mecca. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam turns around and looks at Mecca, and he says, by Allah, you are the most beloved place to Allah, and you are the most beloved place to me. And if it wasn't that I was driven out from you, I would never have left. I wouldn't leave Mecca if I had the choice. But the reality was that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was being forced out. And so this shows us the love that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for Mecca. And he was affirming the love that Allah has for Mecca, that this is the most beloved place to Allah on the face of the earth. Meanwhile, in Mecca, Quraysh were furious when they found out what had happened. And so they started a manhunt in search of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A group of them, among whom was Abu Jahl, went straight to the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And so the daughter of Abu Bakr, Asma radiallahu anha, came out. And so they asked her about the whereabouts of her father and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so she said, I have no idea where they've gone. And so Abu Jahl, he became angry and he slapped her so hard that her necklace came off. And so the journey started. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, sometimes he would walk ahead of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then sometimes he would walk behind him. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam noticed this, and he asked Abu Bakr, why are you doing this? And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, when I remember that somebody can ambush you from in front of us, I make sure I walk in front of you. And then when I recall that somebody could be chasing us, someone could be pursuing us from behind, I walk behind you. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked Abu Bakr, would you rather have harm happened to me or to yourself? And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, O Messenger of Allah, I would rather have it happen to myself. And so all of this shows us the extreme love that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, when the two of them left Mecca, Al-Madinah and the route to Al-Madinah is north of Mecca. And so Al-Madinah is situated north of Mecca. However, when they left Mecca, they did not leave from the north. Instead, they headed south, taking the road that goes to Yemen. And the reason they did this is to avoid anyone who was searching for them. Because Quraysh knew where the Prophet ﷺ is headed. They knew that he was headed to Al-Madinah. So they would start searching that area of Mecca that leads to Al-Madinah. But instead, Rasulullah ﷺ left from the south. And so they were heading south, leaving Mecca until they reached the mountains south of Mecca. And among these mountains is a huge mountain called Mount Thawr. And so they started to climb this mountain until they got quite high above this mountain and they found a cave. And so this is where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he enters the cave and he enters it to check, to make sure that there is nothing harmful, to check for snakes, for scorpions, or any traps or anything, to make sure it's safe. Once he saw that it was safe, he then told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make his way in. And so they are in this cave, and some of the men of Quraysh followed in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because once they sent out the word to everyone that we need to look for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they also put a bounty on his head. And that was 100 camels. So now everyone, you know, who wants that prize is gonna search for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so among them were people who were very intelligent when it comes to, you know, finding hostages and following in their footsteps. And so that led some of them to this cave. And so while the two of them were in the cave, the kuffar of Quraysh, they made it to the entrance of the cave. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, if any of them looks down to his feet right now, they will see us." And so, what was the response of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said with full confidence, knowing whose protection they were under, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "O Abu Bakr, what do you think about two men who the third companion they have is Allah?" And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he understood very well that they were under the protection of Allah. And so that day when Abu Bakr was the only companion that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, and the kuffar had surrounded the cave, none of the sahaba were around, and Allah indeed did support the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed ayat regarding this incident, regarding this very conversation that took place between Abu Bakr and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tawbah, إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ. If you do not aid him, if you do not defend him, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Allah has already taken that responsibility upon himself. إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ. Allah has already aided him, helped him. And then Allah mentions when that was. إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. Allah has already aided him. When the disbelievers had driven out, when they had driven him out as two, meaning him and Abu Bakr, while they were both in the cave, Allah mentions these exact words, while the both of them were in the cave, and he reassured his companion, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reassured Abu Bakr, لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعْنَا. Do not grieve, do not be worried, for indeed Allah is with us. فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَيْهِ وَأَيَّدَهُ بِجُنُودٍ لَمْ تَرَوْهَا وَجَعَلَ كَلِمَةَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا السُّفْلَى وَكَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. And so Allah says that He sent down His Sakina, His serenity upon the Prophet, supported him with soldiers, with forces that you could not see, and He made the word of the disbelievers to be the lowest, while the word of Allah is the supreme. And Allah is the Almighty, the All-Wise. And we know who the soldier of Allah was on that day. It was one of the tiny creatures of Allah. And that was a spider that spun a web in front of the entrance of the cave. And so Allah mentions all of this, that He supported him with forces, بِجُنُودٍ لَمْ تَرَوْهَا, soldiers that you could not see. And so that includes, you know, something as small as the spider, and also the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now they stayed in the cave for 3 days. During these 3 days, the son of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Abdullah, would spend a day in Mecca gathering intelligence. And so he would listen to the conversations of Quraysh about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and about Abu Bakr. So he would gather this intelligence, and then he would go to the cave and he would spend the nights with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr. And he would tell the servant of Abu Bakr, his name was Amir ibn Fuhayra, he would tell him to follow him with his sheep. And so this served a double purpose. Firstly, the sheep would provide milk for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr. And secondly, these sheep would also cover the tracks, the footsteps of Abdullah and Amir ibn Fuhayra. And so no one would know where they went. And so this went on for three days. And the reason for that, and why did they stay for 3 days and three nights in the cave? The reason for that was to make sure that Quraysh were now certain that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has long left. You know, we have searched for him all over Mecca and in the surroundings of Mecca, and we have not been able to find him. This means that he has left. And so they will loosen their search. And this will give the opportunity for the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr to easily leave from Mecca. Now, after the 3 days, the guide who would accompany Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr showed up. His name was Abdullah ibn Urayqit. And this individual was a mushrik. He was not a Muslim. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hired him because he was trustworthy and he had an alliance with Quraysh. So he was responsible for showing them a different route out of Mecca to Al-Medina that the people would usually not take. And so he was a guide who was, you know, knowledgeable of the desert routes. And so he would avoid the general route to Al-Medina. And so the route that he took them on was along the coastline until they reached Al-Medina. Now, as I mentioned, Quraysh had placed a bounty on the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 100 camels, dead or alive. And so they had sent their messengers to the Bedouin tribes in the desert to tell them about this reward. And so these tribal people were the experts of the roots of the desert. In a hadith narrated by Bukhari and Muslim, one of the heads of these tribal areas was an individual by the name of Suraqa ibn Malik. He says, I was sitting in the gathering of my people when a man showed up and said, I saw two people in the horizon, and I think that they are the two men that Quraysh is looking for. So I told him, no, these two men were here a while ago and they just left. He says, I told him that because I wanted to deceive him. I knew that these two men are probably Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr, but I wanted the prize for myself. And so Suraqa, he stayed in the gathering for a while so that nobody would be suspicious. And then he went to his house and he told his servant to go and prepare his horse and to hide it. And then he left from the back door and he carried his spear, which was dragging on the ground because, you know, spears are long and he didn't want anyone to notice it. So he mounted his horse and he went in the direction that the man had described. And so, guess what? It turns out to be true. When he approaches them, it turns out that the two men were indeed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr. So now, Suraqa is only a few meters away from becoming a millionaire. And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anh was looking back, while Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reciting the Quran. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never looked back because of how confident he was. He knew that, you know, the help of Allah and the victory of Allah was with them. But Abu Bakr was very concerned. Not for himself, but rather for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we mentioned. So Abu Bakr told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, someone is behind us. Someone is pursuing us. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then made a dua. And as soon as Suraqa came close, his horse started to sink into the sand. It caused Suraqa to fall off of his horse. But his greediness did not stop him. He wanted that bounty. And so he was surprised, you know, this has never happened to me before. He got back onto his horse and he tried to approach again, and the same thing happened. And then he tried a third time, but this time he says that a cloud of dust exploded in his face. And so Suraqa then knew, he realized then, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was supporting this man. There is a power from outside of this world that is supporting this man. And so he then asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to grant him peace. You know, imagine, he was pursuing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was putting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in danger, but now he feels threatened. You know, he feels like he is now in danger. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam granted him that security, that peace bond. And so Suraqa said, no, that's not enough. I want it written down. I want it to write it down for me. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered the servant of Abu Bakr, Amir ibn Fuhayra, to write it down. And so he wrote it down on a piece of tanned leather or on a bone. And Suraqa, he preserved that document. You know, he kept it with him. He left. And now years later, 8 or 9 years later, Suraqa became a prisoner of war. He was captured by the Muslims when? After the conquest of Mecca, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went and laid siege to At-Ta'if, Suraqa was there and he ended up in the hands of the Muslims. And so he quickly pulled out that document and he showed it and he said, this is a warrant, a peace certificate from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so it saved his life. And you know, that same day Suraqa embraced Islam. Now what did Suraqa do after he left the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He went back to Mecca and he discouraged Quraysh from searching for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did this on the request of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so eventually, look at how Suraqa became a guardian for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was before that an enemy. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr continued their journey. On the way, they visited, or they pass by, a woman. And this woman, she was Ma'bad. She was a woman from the tribe of Khuza'a. And she was a very generous woman. You know, anyone who would pass by, she would feed them, she would give them hospitality. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. However, she didn't have anything to offer to them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even offered money, you know, for some food, for some milk. But she said, I don't have anything. And so she did have a goat. But this goat was very weak. and it had nothing. You know, it became dried up because it was a year of drought. So the Prophet ﷺ asked her, "Can I have the goat?" And so she said, "Sure." So he went to it and he started to touch it with his blessed hands, and he started to bring out the milk. He asked for a huge container, and so he started to milk it until it was giving so much milk that it overfilled the container. And then he first gave Abad to drink, then after that he gave everyone else until everyone had drunk to their full. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the last to drink. As he sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say, that the servant is the last to drink, meaning the one who is serving the people. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam continued his journey, and he left behind the milk. Now, towards the evening, Ma'bad's husband comes home, Abu Ma'bad, and he asks his wife, "Where did this milk come from?" So she said, "There was a very blessed man that visited us, and he is the one who milked this goat." And then he asked her, "Describe him for me." And so Ma'bad gave a description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which remains recorded until this very day, and it is one of the best descriptions ever given of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is mentioned in the books of Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyah, the books that describe how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to look like, even though she only met him once. And so let us listen to her description. She says, "I saw him to be a man of evident splendor, fine in figure. His face was handsome, slim in form. His head was not too small, elegant and good looking. His eyes large and black, his eyelids long, his voice deep, very intelligent. His brows high and arched, his hair in place, his neck long and his beard thick. He gave an impression of dignity when silent and of high intelligence when he spoke. His words were impressive and he was decisive, not trivial nor dull. His ideas like pearls moving on their string. He seems the most splendid and fine looking man from a distance, and the very best of all from close by. Medium in height, the eye not finding him to be too tall nor too short, a tree branch as it was between two other tree branches, but he was the finest looking of the three, the best proportioned. He was the center of his companions' attention. When he spoke, they listened, and when he ordered, they would hurry to obey. A man that was helped, well served, never sullen, never refuted." And so after hearing this description of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, her husband says, "This man must be Muhammad, the one who Quraysh are chasing after. If I meet him, I will pledge him allegiance and I will become a Muslim." Why was that? Because of what he did. You know, he performed a miracle. He brought them this milk when he knew it was impossible. A dried up goat could not give milk. And because of this description that he heard from his wife. Now, Ma'bad had already given her pledge of allegiance and she had already become Muslim. Now, there was another similar incident that took place along this same journey of the Hijrah. where they met a shepherd. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked this shepherd for some milk. And the shepherd explained how none of his goats have any milk at the moment. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the shepherd if he could allow him to milk it, one of the goats. And so when he gave him permission, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam milked it. And as soon as the goat started to give milk, he gave that milk to everyone to drink. First the shepherd, and then Abu Bakr, and then himself. And so after the shepherd, you know, saw this and he was shocked, he said, "Who on earth are you? I have never seen anyone like you." And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, "Do you think you can keep a secret if I told you who I was?" And so the man said, "Yes." And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "I am Muhammad, the messenger of Allah." So the shepherd, he asked, "Are you the one who Quraysh claims to be a Sabiq, you know, a Sabian?" A Sabian, a Sabiq, was basically a degrading accusation. It was an insult that the people of Quraysh would use to label the Muslims. You know, it was a label that they would use to describe the Muslims. You know, it would mean these people are backward and whatnot. And so they would call them Sabi'un rather than Muslims. If someone had become a Muslim, they would say Saba'a. He has become a Sabi', a Sabian. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, I am the one who they call a Sabian. So the man, he said, "I bear witness that you bring the truth and that only a prophet could do what you have done." And so he says, "I am going to follow you now." But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, "You cannot follow me right now. You have to wait. Come and join me when you have heard that I have started to openly, you know, proclaim my da'wah." So basically, you know, the days of a da'wah in Mecca were secretive, as we spoke about previously. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could not openly, publicly give da'wah, and he feared for his danger. And so he said, "You know, come and join me later on." Not that you cannot become a Muslim, but follow me later on. And so these are some of the incidents that took place that are mentioned in the books of As-Sirah. And as we can see, there are several miracles that took place along this journey, along the Hijrah. And so these are the main events that occurred during the Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Al-Madinah. And there are numerous lessons that we can learn from this event, this, you know, very huge event in the Seerah, an event so huge that the Islamic calendar later on, you know, became attributed to this event, as we will talk about insha'Allah ta'ala next week. And so because of how many lessons we can derive from this story, we will leave all of those lessons to cover all of them next week insha'Allah ta'ala. So next week we'll cover all the lessons. We'll dedicate next week's halaqa to cover all of the lessons learned that we can learn from the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his companion Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And so with that, we come to the end of this session. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.